The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I see man, I
shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see man, I shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we've got JC, we've got Charlie, we got you on this Bears Monday with you till 10 o'clock. Then Mike Greenberg comes in, 10 to 12, Carmen Yurko, 12 to 2, Waddle and Sylvie, 2 to 6, Black and Abdallah, 6 to 8, into Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Time now for Shot or No Shot is brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook. Download the PointsBet app, get the lightning bets, the same game, live, in-game parlays. I'll be doing that tonight. Putting the same game together as well for the start of the game. And if you want to bet the horses, the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Good morning, Secretariat. We hand it off right now
to
Charles Bevins.
Good morning, boys. How are we doing today?
You know how we're doing.
Bears Monday. I'm loving it.
You've tuned into the show this morning, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
You tuned in?
We're loving that defense, right?
Well, we're loving Jack Sanborn.
And Jack Sanborn?
I'm not quite as upset as Hoodie. I'm not.
You're indifferent to the Bears right now until they get good. I'm locked in for every game,
every
play.
I'm not indifferent to them.
Yeah.
I told you that game's going to be way harder to win, and I'm worried the Lions could beat them. I saw this coming. So we suck.
Yes, doesn't make it right. Doesn't make you feel good this morning. I knew the Bears are bad. Oh, they lost. Oh, well, can't do that, pal. Not on this side of the table. Because this is a game they should have won. There's going to be times where the Bears are going to get bludgeoned against better teams. And so I'm prepared for that. I know what that looks like because I can see the talent difference. Bears and Lions, a game that's in the balance, you like to win that game. But they fell short. Charlie.
All right, boys, let's start right there with the Bears. Once again, we saw the Bears fill up the stat sheet offensively. And once again, we saw the other opposing team do the same thing on Sunday, with Detroit scoring 31 points, making it the third game in a row the Bears have allowed over 30 points. We saw what happened to the offense during the mini-bye, so shot or no shot, Matt Eberflus needs to make similar systematic changes to his defense for us to feel truly good about where this team is headed.
Well, that's a shot. I'm not sure exactly what those changes would be, but here's a guy here that is a defensive coordinator at heart. And I know he can't be happy about the amount of points that have been surrendered. However, Cap can tell a story about the thoughts of Eberflus coming into the Bears as far as his Colts defense. Was it an iron gate? Were they getting to the quarterback a lot as of late with the Colts?
Well, I was listening to different people give their thoughts on it, and then I heard Dan Dockich on with Waddle and Sylvie.
Mm-hmm.
He was none too complimentary about what the Bears were getting as a defensive wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I like him. So far, I like that he's our head coach. I like his transparency. I like how he answers things. I like that his guys try to play hard for him.
Did you say you like his transition?
His transparency.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought you said transition.
Take a look at our roster. It is what it is. It's going to take Poles time. That's it.
So shot or no shot?
I can't remember the freaking question now.
All right, Charlie, go ahead.
No shot.
Well, I guess an impromptu shot or no shot, you know, he is a defensive-minded head coach. I know they're not talented, but it should be better than this, right? Like, if that is your role, that is your specialty, shouldn't you have a higher floor than what we've seen?
No.
Absolutely. You always strive to be the best that you can be. The idea that you roll out of bed and said, well, this is what it is, so we just have to deal with it. If you're a coach, you have to have some pride. At least this side of the room has pride.
If I did not see them hustling, they hustle. They play hard. They try. They can't pressure the quarterback.
Yeah, well, don't confuse activity with accomplishment. They hustle, but what was the end result? A lot of open space for the Lions to run.
Correct. Because, again, Jared Goff.
Man,
he could stand back there and process and go through his reads because nobody can lay a hand on him.
That's true.
It is what it is, folks. That's the roster that we have right now. So I like that they play hard. I like the young kids in the secondary. They got their work cut out for them. It's going to be a very tough finish to the season.
Charlie.
All right, so I guess sort of an offshoot to one of Cap's points there. We know the resources that are at the Bears' disposal this coming offseason in terms of both draft capital and money to spend. Shot or no shot, finding a game-changing defensive player this offseason is just as important, if not more important, than finding a game-changing offensive player like a receiver or a tackle for Justin Fields.
I'd say shot. I mean, I think both things can be true in that you want to be able to find someone who can get after the quarterback. Yeah, Cap just went through the names in our last hour of right. guys that are no longer here and what the Bears have right now. Look at that talent. You know, we try to shine up and try to exalt Jack Sanborn because we think it's kind of cool. A local kid
can
do
guy.
Well. Yeah, that's cool. Moro, those guys. But, yeah, you got to have a difference maker on defense. Listen, you're a defensive coordinator at heart if you're Eberflus. You want them to get after the quarterback. It's part of the hits principle. You can't have the hits principle without having hits.
So hustle, intensity, takeaways, and smarts.
Yeah.
Okay, we hustle. We're intense. We don't get too many takeaways. Mm. And smarts,
tough.
It's tough when you're out-talented at almost every spot. I mean, when you don't have Roquan leading the NFL in tackles back there,
yeah,
who can run like the wind and cover somebody out of the backfield or go with a tight end,
mm-hmm.
You don't have Robert Quinn getting double teamed on one side and Khalil Mack, when he's healthy, a beast on the other side. You got to get those guys in here, those types of guys.
So
it's going to take time.
I would say shot. Absolutely. You want to be able to get someone that can get after the quarterback. But then on the other side, of course, we're so enamored with the offense. They're scoring 30-plus points without talent.
Correct.
Imagine if they had some playmakers where Justin doesn't have to run around the field all the time. That'd be something.
That'd be amazing. So shot.
All right, Charlie.
Looking a little Jalen Carter for you there, Hoodie. All right, let's move it along. Cole Kmet had himself another day yesterday, scoring two more touchdowns, including a 50-yard bomb from Fields. He's emerged as a true red zone target we all hoped he would be, with five touchdowns in the last three games. So my question is, shot or no shot, right now the Bears have a top five tight end in the NFL.
Top five? Hold on a minute. I don't want to.
I would underestimate him. It would be behind, obviously, Andrews, Kelsey, Kittle. But after that, it's kind of a bleak state of tight ends in the NFL.
Is this true? Is this true, JC? Do you see the same thing at tight end?
Well, Andrews has been non-existent with injuries right now.
That's right.
So you can cross him out. I think anything else behind Kelsey is up for grabs.
Hmm.
Okay.
I never seen it that way. Never thought of it that way.
TJ Hockenson, you could throw him in there. What he's been doing. Ertz just got hurt.
I never thought of it that way. Top five?
Kyle Pitts has been a major disappointment this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, they're listing Taysom Hill as a tight end.
No.
He's not really a tight end.
He's not. He's an everyman.
Travis Kelce.
He's a man of the people.
Mark Andrews, for sure. TJ Hockenson.
I think there's maybe three or four tight ends definitively ahead of Kmet.
Dallas Goedert. Mike Gesicki. Who's the kid up in...
Will Disley?
No, the kid in Buffalo.
Dawson Knox.
Dawson Knox, solid player. Dalton Schultz down in Dallas.
That's a no
shot. Looking at all this, I'm going to say Cole Kmet has a chance mm-hmm. to be a top five guy.
That's fair. So how about the outside looking in, Charlie? Would that be fair or no? I say outside looking in when I look at this list.
Yeah, I think it's, like I said, I think it's a little bit more about the drop-off after that pretty defined top two or three. I mean, based on some of the numbers, what Kmet's been doing the past few weeks, like Dalton Schultz only has one touchdown this whole year.
I will say, no matter if we see him as a top five guy or not, I'm very encouraged that he's being able to get into the passing game. I'm happy for him. Because the last couple of years, it's been bleak, where it's just like he's not in the offense or they can't give him the ball, all that. At least Justin's able to find him. I'm really happy that he's got a couple of touchdowns yesterday.
I'm looking at the ratings have Cole way way down the list. If you go to lineups.com, they have Kelsey and Goddard, Andrews, Hockenson, David Njoku, Zach Ertz, Freiermuth is pretty damn good in Pittsburgh, Gerald Everett with the Chargers, Kittle, Tonyan, Tyler Higbee, Hayden Hurst, Kyle Pitts, Noah Fant. They're all ahead of Cole, but I think he's coming on. No question about it.
Charlie.
All right. Well, while the Bears have been one of the more optimistic stories in the NFL, at least relative to expectations, there have been some dreadful situations in the NFL this year. Namely, what the hell's been going on in Denver and Las Vegas? The Broncos lost again to make them 3-6, and Russell Wilson looks like a shell of himself, while the Raiders and Josh McDaniels just lost to Jeff Saturday and the Colts. Shot or no shot, there will be 2 1-and-done coaches in the NFL this year.
I will say, God almighty, I would lean shot in that. But the whole thing in Las Vegas is you have the talent and it's just not working. I mean, whatever you want to say about Jeff Saturday, the coach of the Colts, I mean, the Raiders lost to a guy that doesn't have any experience. I mean, I know that it was all coached up and you had to be able to talk to Matt Ryan, get him back in the starting, you know, spot. I know Ryan's a Hall of Famer, but are the Raiders that bad that they lose against the Colts? The answer is yes.
Yeah,
that's a dreadful situation.
And now there's talk that he's lost the locker room. Oh, boy.
Now you just got there.
You say that when teams are bad, but the Bears are bad. There ain't no talk of that here because they like playing for this dude.
He just got there. Now, here's the other side of this real quickly. If Josh McDaniels is fired after this season, some will say, I'll just go to college. And if you're McDaniels, you're like, nope, I don't want to deal with that. NIL, all that stuff. I don't want to deal with that rat race. But then you go back in hat in hand to Belichick or whomever, and you just become a coordinator. I guess that's his lot in life, because when he's a head coach, it doesn't work.
It would be the third time he's done that, too, because of what happened with Indianapolis. Go back, hat in hand.
God
Belichick,
almighty.
Can I come back?
My God, man. But also, I would say, and I think you'd agree with me as a coach yourself, hey, man, let me work the program. Hey, you know what? I'm taking over this mess. Give me another year, for God's sakes.
I will be surprised if they fire him immediately. I will. Now, again, if the locker room just disintegrates, I guess all bets are off. I'll be surprised if they fire him at the end of 1 year.
It's likely to happen in Denver. Not sure about the Raiders at this point, Charlie, because you know what? It's the NFL, not the NBA.
Correct.
where that's commonplace, where coaches get fired quickly because it's a players' league.
I'd be 2 head coaches in 2 years, too, after what happened with Gruden last year.
I'd hold on to him, and I know that Derek Carr had a tearful press conference, and I felt for him. Like, I never played in the NFL, but I understand he was in deep waters in that press conference.
You're what, 2-7?
Yeah.
He
was not happy.
Yeah. I was gonna say, that helps McDaniel's case with Carr like that at the presser. Like, it, you know, seeing it emotional, right? It's just not the way it's gone. They're going to run it back.
All right, Charlie.
All right, we got time for one more. How about this? Let's do a little fun one here. We all followed that Bills-Vikings game yesterday.
Yep.
And in doing so, we saw Justin Jefferson make a one-handed catch. Take a listen to this if you can't remember it. I don't know how you'd forget it.
Kirk Cousins back to throw on 4th and 18. He's given time. He wants Jefferson. Climbs the ladder. Oh, my goodness. Justin Jefferson pulled it in. The catch of his life.
Shot or no shot, that's the best catch the NFL has seen.
God almighty, that's
he, yeah, the defender had 2 hands on it. He had 1.
It was fantastic. It's one of the best catches I've ever seen in a regular season game, Cap.
Yes, it was right there with the OBJ catch. Remember the one-handed?
Yeah.
Which became viral and everyone tried to imitate it.
Mm-hmm.
The David Tyree in the Super Bowl pinning it to his helmet. There's been some... what was it? Who caught the Santonio Holmes
for Pittsburgh
in the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Big Ben hit him, and he somehow got his feet down in the back right corner. There's been some amazing catches through the years. It's certainly in the team photo. It was amazing.
There's no doubt. As far as great, there's been clutch catches, but we're talking about great catches, right? Like Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone was a clutch catch, but not a great catch like we saw yesterday. Acrobatic falling down is amazing.
Agreed.
So, yeah, it's one of the best ones I've ever seen. So there you go, Charlie. Thanks so much for Shot or No Shot on a Monday. Now we'll take more of your phone calls coming up. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Cap and I want to find out your thoughts about the Bears and their loss against the Lions, 31-30. Also, you hear from Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Chicago Bears. That's coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
And we'll talk to Courtney Cronin coming up at 8:35. Covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. We'll get her thoughts from inside the locker room. 312-332-3776. It's a Bears Monday. Bears are 3-7. They lose to the Lions 31-30. Want to get your thoughts in here. 312-332-ESPN. Some thoughts from Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Bears. Talking about a number of things, including worried about Fields running too much. That was the question. And Eberflus says,
you know, you got to be smart. You know, I've used the term wisdom and discernment as he goes through there. There was a couple times where he took a couple shots today, but he also slid and got himself out of bounds a couple times. And again, when you're an athlete like that, he's got to use that wisdom when he's in that part of the field to make sure he gets down or gets out of harm's way.
Thoughts there from Matt Eberflus.
So he understands we've got to keep this kid healthy.
Sure.
Justin said at the end of the game, yeah, I'm hurting. Besides the ear that they almost ripped off his head that they had to stitch up.
That's what lions do.
Right.
Got their paw in there.
Dan Campbell said, I told you we're going to bite people.
Yeah.
That Lions team has a long way to go. Long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But so do the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unfortunate to lose to a bad team at home. You feel like, okay, can't beat them at home?
That's just tough. But I know what's happening here. I get it. I'm sure deep down, Poles is like, okay, you know, we know the direction. I took a lot of the talent off the field, so here we go.
Do you think the Bears will be favored in any of their remaining games?
No.
They're at Atlanta. I think they're a 2.5-point underdog, maybe 3.
Yeah, I don't know what the Lions, what that's going to look like on January 1st against the Lions. I don't know what the Lions are going to be for that. In Ford
Detroit.
Field, yeah.
In Detroit. Coming up, correct me if I'm wrong, at the Falcons.
Yep.
At the Jets.
Against the Packers.
Packers here.
Eagles here.
Here.
Bills here. At the Lions, against the Vikings here on January 8th.
So the next 5 are just like, holy bleep. 2 road games and you come home for the Packers, the Eagles, and the Bills. Huh.
Yeah. See, that's in that particular section of the schedule, I go, and I had them losing before the season, so I know that was going to be difficult. Really difficult, because it's only based on the roster. Now, again, I can do the old coin flip, oh, it's the NFL, you never know what can happen. But in that situation, Cap, you know that there is a talent deficit on the Bears against those teams.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Including the Jet.
Oh, the Jet have 14 first-round picks on the roster. 14! 19 if you count second round picks. That's a lot of good players.
Sorry, man. Bears will lose all those games 40-38.
I'll take it.
Probably so.
If I told you they fit that they, what did they score? 29 or more, 3 straight?
Mm-hmm.
First team in NFL history to lose all 3, scoring 29 or more. If I told you right now they're going to go 3-14 and they're going to score 29 or more every game, would you take it?
No, I understand. I think that's likely, so I'm braced for that. I don't want them to lose, but I'm braced for it. 312-332 ESPN is our phone number. Space is in Plainfield on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Space.
Cap, Hoodie, what's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Sup, Space?
Hey, Cap, sign me up. If you said we will score 29, 30 points from here on out for the rest of the season and lose, I'm all in. Sign up. Take that. Put me on board. You know what? The Bears are kind of doing exactly what we kind of need them to do. It sucks to lose to the Lions, especially being a diehard Bears fan who has never seen us really win because of offense especially. So it sucks for the guys who's really out there battling and really fighting play in and play out. But I'm okay with it. I mean, like you guys always keep saying, we chose a lane, so stick with it. We're going to lose, but the key is growth and development. Justin Fields is growing every single game. Cole Kmet. I disagree with what you guys were saying before. I think he's butting into a potential top five tight end with the injuries. You know, Ertz being hurt, mm-hmm. with Andrews being hurt. So, you know, he's butting. Did you see the route? And then it goes to the end zone and what, 50-yard touchdown? Come on, Kmet, where has this been? So I'm excited to see Tevin Jenkins. He's going to be a Pro Bowl guard.
Hopefully.
I mean, this is his position. You know, definitely. So if we keep going in this direction for the rest of the year, just keep getting better, I think we're in a good situation for next year to just build on the team. Now, we do need Poles to make the right decisions. But, you know, I like what our young guys are doing. We're very young, going to make a lot of mistakes. We got to weather the storm, guys, because after the storm, the calm comes, and now it's time for the Bears to kick major butt. So, yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm happy that, you know, I hate to say I'm happy that we lost, but I kind of am. Just be honest.
All right, Space, we appreciate the telephone call.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Fields is really banged up.
I'm hurting pretty bad. Not really from hits. But just my legs are kind of sore. But other than my legs being sore and, of course, my ear, I'm fine.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, next stop, Chicago Marathon for him.
Yeah, they almost ripped his ear off. Watch the last sack. I mean, jeez. He's got like four guys coming after him and two got him.
Yeah, you understand why. And that this is where you need to be able to make your changes.
Correct.
And do them accordingly. Don't get smart and crafty in the draft now. Make sure you take care of Fields. You could see what actually is very glaring, the needs for this football team. Figure it out.
You got to get a left tackle.
No question about it.
That, to me, is the number one thing on offense. Got to get a left tackle that can really block.
That's the hope.
Did you watch the back-to-back plays when he had to line up against one of those Lions ends?
Mm-hmm.
Holding. 70 offense, 10-yard penalty, replay second down. Holding 70 offense, like,
yeah,
dude, block somebody.
Braxton Jones is holding on for dear life.
Yes, that's exactly what he is.
In Reno, Nevada, listening on the ESPN Chicago app, there he is, Freddie on ESPN 1000. All right, Freddie.
Freddie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. Where you been?
Oh, I've been working. Tesla really has me, you know, doing the grind thing. But I really got to say something, you guys, if I can get this off my chest.
Yes, sir.
If I could hear somebody else, one more person say, I'm okay with the Bears losing. I'm okay with this lane that we took. I'm okay. You know what? They lost. But you know what? It's a good loss. For the past 3 weeks, I've been irked. I've been sitting here. I want to kick somebody in the ribs. What we all know as football fans is it's a game of momentum. We're seeing every team elevate at this point in time. Everyone's elevating. Our quarterback just elevated. Everybody in America loves to see him play. Mm-hmm. The only thing we were missing is keeping the team from scoring, guys. And guess what? We just gave them away.
That's not a fact. That is,
just let me finish, Cap.
Go ahead.
We haven't seen anything yet. You're right. It's not a fact. It's an opinion. That's why I'm calling. But what we're going to see, and mark my word, you guys, we're going to see Roquan keep winning, and we're going to keep losing. There is no way that we couldn't have at least won two of the last three games. And there's no way that we couldn't have made a solid, solid wild card run this year.
Oh, you're out of your mind. We were not making a solid wild card run. We've got a bad football team. Won two of the last three. Miami just blew out Cleveland. Miami's a really good football team. Really good. Stop. Come on, man. You're a smarter football fan than that. We are a bad football team. Wild card run? Wild card run. We can't block anybody. We can't stop anybody. We don't have good receivers. Just don't let our quarterback get killed, please.
Wild card run?
Yes. That's what he just said.
I don't know you could run to the wild. I fear you kind of just like walk there and end up there.
You want to ask him again? Did he really mean that? Freddie, did you really mean a wild card run?
I meant a chase. Well, however we get there.
Freddie, chase, run.
What?
Freddie, it's like a four-win team, man.
All right.
Come on.
Freddie, good to hear from you, man. We appreciate the telephone call.
Jesus.
Coming up, Courtney Cronin with the latest of the Bears. Wild card run on Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Now, Courtney Cronin.
Double C.
Bears insider and Irish dancer.
I was an Irish dancer, probably like 10 to like 13.
Takes you into Hallis Hall on Cap and Jay Hood.
Courtney Cronin on Cap and Jay Hood is brought to you by Wintrust. Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
I'm great. Now knowing that everybody in the Chicagoland area has been reminded of my Irish dance history, that is a very cool intro.
How about that new intro? Did you do that?
I love it.
That was awesome.
Well,
that's excellent.
You say it on a microphone, it'll be recorded and kept forever.
That's true. You think I learned my lesson by now, but I digress.
Double C, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Courtney, give us your thoughts about the game. What stood out most about the Bears' loss against the Lions?
You know, I was watching it back this morning, and the fact is, this is a team that gave up 30 points in the fourth quarter all season long, and they allowed 21 to the Lions on Sunday. Like, that's just really bad. I mean, I think that the optimism surrounding Justin Fields, another incredible rushing day from the Bears quarterback, all of that's great, but the fact is they're still coming up short in both of these games where he's, you know, running all over the place and, you know, putting the team on his back, fighting off Lions, so to speak, on that fourth down play that resulted in the sack. He can't do it alone. There's a lot of takeaways, I think, that are positive, and I still think that the temperature of this fan base, they see their quarterback progressing on a week-to-week basis, but this team still can't tip the meter the other direction where these close losses become close wins. And I think there's a lot that has to do with the fact that you got to win games through the air. And I tweeted something about this yesterday, and apparently anytime you criticize a quarterback or any offense that can't throw the ball, you're a hater. But you have to look at good teams. Good teams are not one-dimensional when the game matters. No matter whether your defense has given up 21 points in the fourth quarter, you had a chance to lead a game-winning drive, and that's on everybody. That's on conservative play calling. That's on the quarterback. That's on pass protection. That's on receivers. And until they're able to do that, they're not going to win these close games. You go back to that game against Miami. There was the third down pass to Chase Claypool that didn't result in DPI. Well, you still had another chance, and it was a good throw from Justin Fields to Equanimeous St. Brown, and it resulted in a drop. They lose by three. They lose by one yesterday because they can't move the ball to get in field goal range there at the end, and that's what's gonna require this team, or what's going to be required of this team to make the next step. I talked to Darnell Mooney about it yesterday, and just how good they are. In a lot of respects, running the ball is what their identity is. That's fine. You can be a team like that. But when it matters, you got to be able to throw the ball at the end of the game. You got to be able to win games that way. And that's where they keep coming up short these last 2 weeks.
So watching that game yesterday, obviously the defense was horrible. But what was the number one thing that you feel they got to fix that? For me, it's left tackle. That kid's not ready to play left tackle starting in the National Football League. That would be the number one thing I got to go get. I have got to be able to protect my kid, because once they stopped having their ends rush up the field where Justin could step up and whoop, gone, where they kind of fenced him in there, everything breaks down. I got to get better protection for my guy. Do you agree or disagree?
I think that that's where you've got a first-round draft pick that you can utilize a number of different ways, and there's a couple tackles that they should be keeping their eye on in the first round. Like, and it's, you know, Braxton Jones is a fifth-round rookie from an FCS school. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. And, you know, you can say what you want about that hold that happened early in the game on the drive. I mean, they had good momentum. They were running the ball really well on that first drive. And then that holding penalty kind of slowed everything up. And then they kicked the field goal. Of course, you can win the game in a number of different ways. It's not just the first drive that determines that. But I think that you've seen moments where Braxton Jones has held his own, but you've also seen moments where he's been overmatched. And I don't know what more you can expect from somebody who, you know, is from an FCS school, you know, is relatively undersized when he's coming out, but he held his own against guys at the Senior Bowl. They thought it was a good value, and it was, for a fifth-round pick. I still think you have to be thinking long-term here, getting a potential franchise guy in to play left tackle someday, and, you know, maybe even moving Braxton Jones around, because the future at right tackle beyond this season, we don't know what that's going to be. Like, is Larry Borum ever going to get another shot? It feels like Riley Reiff's running away with that job right now, and they like at least what they have at that spot. But as you start to look through, you know, what's next for a 3-7 team, at some point you truly do turn your attention to, all right, March, who are their free agent priorities? What's the free agent class look like among offensive linemen, among pass rushers, because we know that that's a need. We already know how they feel about the wide receiver class because of what they did with Chase Claypool. But then you start turning your attention to the draft and figuring where, if they're, you know, in the 5-6 range, which they are right now after the loss to Detroit, that's a good spot to get somebody, you know, a high-caliber offensive lineman that can help shore up your pass protection and help you and help your quarterback next year.
Courtney Cronin with us here on Cap and Jay Hood as we talk about the Bears and their loss against the Lions, 31-30. Matt Eberflus on not playing Harry or Velus Jones yesterday.
Yeah, that's really what I said last week. You know, we thought for us it was the best five receivers up for us for this particular game, and that's what we decided best for the Chicago Bears this week. And again, with Dante doing a good job on the punt returns, and he's continuing to do a nice job back there catching the ball, and he got some good yards today too.
He gave the full name. We're going to do what's best for the Chicago Bears. So that says something. So I'll ask you this. What is the disconnect between Velus Jones and the Bears for him not to dress the last couple of games?
I mean, I think it's a talent thing. And I think, you know, everything we've heard from whether it's Matt Eberflus, Luke Getsy, even Richard Hightower, it's you guys got to compete. Now you have competition in this room that is putting you even further behind the eight ball. And I don't know how quickly you can get caught up. Like, the thing that, you know, more than Velus Jones to me yesterday, Jonathan, was I looked at Equanimeous St. Brown getting the nod. You know, he dropped the pass last week. He wasn't even targeted yesterday against the Lions. They really like him, and I think a lot of that has to do with what he can contribute as a blocker, and that could potentially be the deciding factor, too. I know Matt Eberflus says, well, it's a special teams aspect when you're rounding out your five that they keep active, and that's Dante Pettis' job. But for N'Keal Harry not to be active yesterday, and for Byron Pringle to, you know, effectively get that nod over Harry, because we know that Jones is just kind of far off. I think he's, you know, working through his own situation at the moment. But for other guys, you know, this is going to be a competitive, I mean, there's at least it's creating good competition, I would say, in the wide receiver room. It is a little questionable, though, because you look at who was targeted, who wasn't. Now, St. Brown is playing 66% of snaps this year, and his production on offense has not been that great outside of what he contributes as a blocker, and that's fine, but you've got to get, this is what people are arguing, you need more pass catching help for Justin Fields. It's great that Cole Kmet's emerging as that guy. He led the team in receptions and yards yesterday. Darnell Mooney right behind him. Byron Pringle only had that one catch over the middle of the field, which was a great play by Justin Fields, being able to extend that, you know, find time and extend that play, but they're just not getting the help from the room that they need. And I would imagine for Chase Claypool, it's got to be frustrating after the first week, and then they don't utilize him as much this week. And Matt Eberflus said that that's sometimes a byproduct of whether he's like the first option, the second option on the play, and how he's being covered. But they were trying to get him the ball more. It just didn't happen.
Courtney, in looking at this team and looking at what they have coming up, I know people are upset. My partner's not happy watching losses. I just don't see where they're going to win a football game. Is there a way to get Justin back on the edge, or did the Lions in the second half expose something that's going to slow him down running the football?
I mean, he was banged up after that, and I know that there's always going to be the concern when you run 325 yards in two games, and I think he broke Lamar's record in a two-game stretch yesterday. There's going to be the concern of, will he slow down at some point? And he said it wasn't the hits that made him sore. It was his legs were tired. And I mean, this guy's 228 pounds. He's a bulldozer. And I can imagine he's probably pretty he's feeling it today after going through, ripping right through the defender at the goal line for the touchdown and the 67-yarder. I thought it was kind of funny. Mooney said after the game, he's like, yeah, like, he looked like a big guy, bigger guy running in that moment. I'm not saying he's slow at all. He still hit 20 miles an hour on that play, which is insane when you think about your quarterback and how fast he is and what he can do with his legs. But it did kind of feel, at least at moments, that it might have, you know, maybe having a little bit of an effect on him as far as the stamina thing. But God, he is so tough, and he continues even when this team is, you know, has its back against the wall, and when sometimes he's, you know, the reason for that. You know, the play three snaps after the pick six was his 67-yard touchdown run, and they can continue to do that. I just think that at some point you've got to be able to win games in the fourth quarter decisively and do it like with him throwing the ball, and we know that he can. I think it's just a matter of, you know, don't give up a 14-point lead to a Detroit team that's really not that great. And defensively, Detroit's not great either. Like, I mean, there was this, that's a game they should have won. You're right. They're not going to be favored probably in any other game this season. I mean, Atlanta, last I looked, they opened as 2.5-point dogs on the road, and you expect that. But there's no such thing as easy, gimme wins for this team this year. And the hard thing is, this is a team that's building for the future, so they know what their long-term goal is. But it would probably help to get some wins in the short term to show you how to do that, even though you're teetering the fine line of, well, they don't want to necessarily affect draft positioning. And it's just tough, but they're not trying to lose games. I hate the tanking argument, and I hate the argument that the only thing that they're focused on for the future is getting higher draft capital, better draft positioning, so they can build around Justin Fields. It's all important, but you can't lose to the Lions giving up 14 points in the fourth quarter after putting up 400 yards of offense. That's not acceptable by any stretch.
That's all I'm saying, Courtney. That's all I'm trying to tell Cap. It's like, I understand that it is going to be a tough road throughout the rest of this regular season, but against the Lions, especially when you have that kind of lead, that's why the loss is disappointing. We all know what the bigger picture is, but for Cap to just shrug the shoulders and just like, well, it is what it is. Screw that. Not today. It is what it is. Not today.
I get the frustration of it, because there's the quarterback's making incredible strides, and that's something that this fan base can be really excited about. But they should have won that game yesterday. The swing of momentum, and when players are talking about feeling the momentum shift on the sideline and not being able to get that back, that's tough. And you go back to, I watched it this morning to make sure, you know, I went through all of the penalties, and you can think what you want about the illegal hands to the face. It's a rule that is pretty freaking clear. You cannot have your hand pushing somebody's face mask. You cannot reach in the neck area. Refs are going to call that, whether you think it's a ticky-tack call or not. I'd be more upset if I was a Bears fan about this Kyler Gordon late hit, because he was trying to make a play on the ball. It just so happened that Jared Goff sold that as he was going out of bounds and then tripped himself, whatever. All of those self-inflicted wounds, like, that's not who this team is. They're a really well-coached team. 9 penalties for 86 yards yesterday. You got, at some point, you can't blame the refs for all those. Some of those, you got to put the onus on the players. And I know that that's frustrating, but when you are supposed to win a game because you're up and you come back after halftime and you put up 14 points, you know, at some point you got to look in the mirror and say, well, that one, you know, moments of that, more moments than not, were on us than the Lions or the refs.
All right, we're out of time, but just very quickly, why is Chase Claypool only on the field for 19 freaking snaps of 61?
Yeah, I think, you know, Matty Berflus said it yesterday that he thought he was going to end up playing, like, they thought they were going to get the ball to him more. You know, I think that that's probably a byproduct of him getting schemed against. And, you know, he's a big threat for the Chicago Bears, so they'll have to find ways to work around that. But I was kind of surprised by it, to be honest, because it felt like he got caught up to speed right away last week. And then I don't want to say took a step back, but wasn't nearly as part of the game plan as much as I thought he would have been.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Talk to you Friday.
Courtney Cronin covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago, and we're glad that she's with us here on this Bears Monday. Coming up, we'll hear from Alex Brown. That's at 9 o'clock. The great Alex Brown will break down why the defense continues to be they continue to be porous like a sponge. Or you've got that little scrungy, right?
Scrubby.
So that's a little scrubby.
Yeah.
Yeah. To hang on the little
hook in the shower.
Yeah. that's the Bears defense. It is. Except Jack Sanborn.
Oh.
Oh, Jack Sanborn.
Our guy.
The All-American.
We need him on.
What's up with Velus Jones? Next on Cap'n J-Hood.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap'n J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We'll hear from Alex Brown coming up at 9 o'clock and take more of your phone calls here on this Bears Monday.
The NFC playoff matchups, if the season ended today, a little surprising.
Yes.
The Eagles get the bye.
Yes.
And by the way, tonight I would play Washington, not to win the game, but to cover, I think the line's up to 12.
Mm-hmm.
I would take the points. It would be Eagles get the bye. The 7 49ers against the 2 Vikings in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. The 6 Cowboys at the 3 seed Seahawks. That's amazing.
You know, lately that might be a flip the coin.
And after we pounded them in the preseason, remember people? Well, we know who the worst team in the NFL is. Yeah, not so much. And the 5 seed Giants at the 4 seed Buccaneers. Packers now up to a 25% chance of making it after upsetting the Cowboys on Sunday.
Let's keep our eyes on the Packers in that situation.
Wow.
But let's make sure we also put a pin in the Buccaneers. Brady 2-0 since the divorce. Let's keep our eyes on that.
How about that? And supposedly Giselle has a new boyfriend. How about that?
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
That's the worst.
Brady almost had a catch yesterday, too.
That is true in the game. Yes, he did. He's feeling spry now, right?
45 years old, running a route like that?
Yeah.
Oof.
Browns and Saints are the next couple opponents for Tampa. So watch out now. He feels like, okay, I'm loose now. She's out of the way. Right. Kids, everything okay at home?
Right.
Who's this new dude that's in here now? Is he in my bed?
She went to dinner with two of the kids and him. He was her, jiu-jitsu trainer.
Brady was there too?
No.
Oh, okay.
Two of their kids. And Giselle and the guy.
That's messy.
Now, I don't know if they're just friends, but that's...
I don't like mess. That's messy.
Yeah, it's messy.
Keep them away from my kids! Take that! Bastard. 312-332-ESPN is our photo. Or Tom's like, all right, cool. How about another victory? Another log on the fire, right?
Another log on the fire.
I don't know how
he
looks.
Got it done!
All I know, he's 2-0 since that time, so... So what's up with the Velus Jones? That was the what I was going to ask you about. So you heard from Courtney Cronin right there. So you mean to tell me, third round pick cap?
Third round pick.
I know he's, 35 years old, Velus Jones.
25.
But I'm sorry?
25.
I know he's
about the same.
I know he's an older veteran from Tennessee, and I watched him at Tennessee. I know he's good. But so he's not as good as St. Brown or Pettis? Excuse me? He can't beat them out?
I guess not.
Cap.
They look at practice. I know we're talking about practice, man.
Yeah.
But they film every practice, and if you don't play well in practice, you're not getting on the field unless you're a proven vet. He's not.
I just like Eberflus getting up there with the big chest up there like, we're doing what's best for the Chicago Bears. Uh-oh. Know what that means? That means he can't play. We're doing what's best for the Chicago Bears.
Right.
Hmm. Don't get testy. We're just asking how come your third round pick can't get on the field. Can't be in special teams? Holy cow.
You better not have blown a third round pick on that kid.
I have question marks about polls, and rightfully so. I do. I can cast aspersions on any general manager that just got into the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, look, I know what this is.
Right.
I just want him to get the
but
right
you
guys.
Make a valid point.
Just wait.
I'm not going to jump you, but you said it. Yeah, you can have all the draft capital and the cap space you want. What are you doing with it?
That's true.
He's got to prove it.
That's true. But it's not a negative. It's just the jury's out. That's all.
So I went to Botanic Gardens last night for the Christmas lights thing. We took our grandson. It was awesome. Had a great time. It's cold. And a guy walks up. He's like, hey, I just wanted to say, hey, I love you and Hoodie. I listen every morning. I'm a Evanston police officer.
Oh, okay.
Oh, thank you for your service. Yes, thanks for keeping us all safe. He said, I was working the parking lot at the Northwestern Ohio State game.
A couple weeks ago.
He said, I had to let a car into this area. Guy rolled his window down. Ryan Poles. hey, I'm a huge Bears fan. What are you doing here? He said, Jackson Smith and Jigba, but he's not going to play, so I'm going to evaluate the rest of the team. But that's the guy on that team we like.
That makes sense.
How about that?
Very personable for Poles to admit that.
Yes.
You know how many GMs would come in? It's like, I'm just here because I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I just like
I'm
the
just
game.
Evaluating.
Right. He said, I'm just here to evaluate.
He said he could not have been a nicer guy.
Can you find me a good parking spot? Right. That kind of thing. But at least he was kind, right?
Yep. Agreed.
So I like that.
There you go.
The great, capital G, the great, Alex Brown joins us with his analysis on the Bears and their loss against the Lions. That's in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports. Number one.